Welcome to Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor. As you heard, Chris on the beach, kind of taking it easy today, a little bit under the weather to finish the year. And Teresa Monahan from Pro Sanctity joining us, though. Welcome, Teresa.
Very happy to be here. Next week, a week from today, I'll be in Southern California, so I'll be on the beach.
Ah, good
Chris
for you.
Chris better be in there.
Yeah, well, we'll make sure that she is. And you're also going to be with us on my birthday.
That's right.
It's kind of a double cake day for Bruce's birthday and St. Elizabeth Ann Seton.
That's right. You two go hand in hand, don't
you? Yes, we do. Yes, indeed we do.
A January baby.
Yep. And coming up tonight, big event for folks at Pro Sanctity and the wonderful parishioners at St. James Church.
I was just there at St. James. They have a wonderful Mass at 6:30 in the morning. I thought, boy, I'm going to see St. James coming and going.
That's right.
Father Richard Reiser, Dick Reiser, is the pastor there, and he is such a wonderful man. I've known him for a long time, and he very kindly offers us the opportunity, the Pro Sanctity movement, and the whole Catholic Christian community is welcome. I mean, it's not just for the parishioners, anyone who'd like to join us. And it's quite, shall we say, it's almost like a retreat, but you can come for any or all or part or come and go. We have people do all those sorts of things. We start at 10. We dedicate the first hour to Our Lady, since she kind of got the ball rolling.
That's right.
We have a wonderful scriptural rosary planned, some quiet music, just time to be before the Blessed Sacrament. Then at 11 o'clock, we have a very a traditional holy hour with the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, but also with the opportunity. This is your last chance for reconciliation in 2007.
That's right. So if you're resolving to get to reconciliation a little more often.
Exactly.
Start early.
Yes, exactly. And I have a feeling we might even run over. You could even have your first sacrament of reconciliation in 2008, maybe.
There you go. Maybe.
Maybe not, maybe. But Father Dan Lenz is our celebrant, and he's been classically our celebrant over the years. He's a late nighter, so he doesn't mind being up at midnight.
I wonder if he sleeps ever, actually,
sometimes. Yeah, he does. Okay. He does. He's like a winter bear sometimes, but he's wonderful. And during that hour, in fact, it's one of the topics for this morning I'd like to share, we will look at spiritual resolutions.
Oh, wonderful.
And he actually gives us an opportunity during that holy hour to sit quietly before the Blessed Sacrament, to have a little piece of paper and a pencil in our hand, and to be able to just kind of recollect and see, where does the Lord want me to grow this new year? You know, where have I been? Where am I now? And where am I going? You know, and in light of God's inspiration, not just what I think, but what God is inspiring. And then, of course, at midnight, we'll have our own hip, hip, hurrah. It's 2008. It's also the year, will be the year of St. Paul.
Oh, that's right.
I know Our Lady of Lourdes, we're celebrating her celebration this year, 2008, but also the journeys of St. Paul. And our dear Pope Benedict will be, I'm sure, giving us talks and writings and all kinds of proclamations in regards to that.
Pauline year.
It's a Pauline year. And I'm actually already, obviously, looking forward to that. And then, of course, Midnight Mass concludes a half hour, 45 minutes, depends on how wound up Father Dan is.
The Spirit gets him to preaching.
Yeah, he's usually pretty moderate because he knows it's late. But then we're not moderate because after that we decided we should always have breakfast.
You bet.
People bring egg casseroles and their leftover cinnamon rolls and Christmas cookies. So it's the last chance for the Christmas goodies also. And you'd think people would rush in and rush out, but some people just, I mean, myself included, it's really a very lovely time of the night. Mm-hmm. And we sit, we pray, we talk. You know, it's a time to chit-chat about things that are really important. And people are welcome to come for as little or as long as they like.
Yeah.
So that's tonight, St. James. What is that, 90th and Larimore?
9025 Larimore.
9025
Actually,
Larimore.
Just a wee bit south of Fort on 90th Street.
Exactly. You can't miss it. Big, beautiful, brand new church. We've only been in this new church maybe 3 or 4 years at the most.
Mm-hmm.
And they have it decorated to the hilt. There's poinsettias everywhere. It's just a beautiful church. Beautiful place to celebrate. We'll have music. Some of our young people will be playing and singing. We'll have quiet time. And, of course, adoration, which is always a beautiful way to end with the Lord and begin with the Lord.
And to any of our other brother priests who might be listening out there today, they're invited to come and celebrate.
Absolutely. I know Father Taphorn's coming and Father Damien Cook is coming. Those two will actually be available during the holy hour for reconciliation. So there you go. Father Dan, Father Taphorn, Father Cook. So you have a night, Father Dan Lenz. You have a wonderful opportunity for the Sacrament of Reconciliation.
Right. And if you've mowed down all your Christmas leftovers, make something fresh and new.
That's right. We don't mind fresh cookies.
That's right.
We're trying to recycle. But
always good to share with the class.
That's right.
Well, Teresa, we're going to be talking about Mary, the Mother of God, mm-hmm. of course, today. But mm-hmm. Before we get to that, I think we just want to, we talked a little bit about, because of, mm-hmm. you know, the comings and goings mm-hmm. of Christmas trees and mm-hmm. kind of the maneuvering of the culture the way it is now. Yeah. You know, things kind of end on Christmas Day. Actually, we're in day 7 of our 12 days of Christmas, and mm-hmm. Epiphany actually falls on Sunday this year. And beyond that, even mm-hmm. the Christmas season goes a week longer to the baptism of our Lord.
Exactly. And if one is doing the Liturgy of the Hours every day, you'll notice that this week in particular, we're within the octave. And only Easter and Christmas receive an octave. So that means every single day, it's like Christmas.
Yep.
Every single day. In fact, this morning, Father Reiser said exactly that. And we sing Christmas carols till the baptism of the Lord. But this particular day, we even say the prayers of Christmas. And every single day, we recall in a much more pointed and profound way the spirit of Christmas and the meaning of Christmas. In other words, it gives us at least, you know, this full week to deepen and meditate on the meaning of Christmas. And then we have we gradually move into, of course, when we talk about tomorrow is the Theotokos, the Mother of God. We'll also look at the circumcision. We could even go to February 2nd if you wanted to.
Okay.
Yeah, if you wanted to go to the presentation of the temple and really kind of journey with the growing baby Jesus, the growing child Jesus, Jesus in the temple, Jesus at his circumcisions, Jesus in the temple, and then eventually the presentation of Jesus. Of course, the baptism is the grown-up Jesus, so mm-hmm. we do mix a little bit his age there. But we just look at the full life of Christ during this time. So the mystery of the incarnation is not just the birth of Jesus.
Right.
The mystery of the incarnation is all that surrounds his life, how it affects us. And today, this evening, we will spend even more time looking at the beginning of that incarnation, Mary as proclaimed by Pope Paul VI, Mother of the Church, Mother of God, but all the way back in 436 at Ephesus, when they were defining the Christ as being both God and man, how could we not but help to say, well, if he's both God and man, that means mm-hmm. Mary is Mother of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paul VI later on said, and if she's Mother of God, she's Mother of all people. Therefore, she is the Mother of the Church. So we have these wonderful images that kind of just, you know, begin to, one tumbles out after the other.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, progress logically and wonderfully.
They do.
Welcome back to Spirit Mornings. Bruce McGregor here. Chris, a little bit under the weather today, so Daddy insistent that Mama just kind of put her feet up and take it easy today. But Teresa Monahan from Pro Sanctity is joining us here for the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God, which her feast for that is celebrated tomorrow.
Tomorrow, that's right, the first day of the year. And some of you from years back may think, well, that's kind of a, I don't remember the New Year's Day being the feast of the Mother of God. And you're right, we kind of restored it around the time of Vatican II. Pope Paul VI went back and he saw, you know, from the third century, the Christian community has been celebrating Mary as Mother of God on or around January 1st. I keep thinking, I'm not ready to even say that yet.
I know.
I want to say November 1st or something, but really the first day of the new year. And there's a variety of reasons. When we first started celebrating way back in the early church, first of all, we have to remember that Theotokos, which is the Greek name for Mary, as Mother of God.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the important aspects of that, what does Theo mean? Theo is Greek for God,
mm-hmm.
and Tokos is Greek for bearer or of giving life. So God bearer. Mary is the God bearer. It is a very Christological name.
Mm-hmm.
When we call Mary Theotokos, we're saying, you woman, human person, you are bearing God. You bore God. That means, and yet you bore God in a very human way, in a human fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Mary knit in her womb the person of Jesus, the human person of Jesus, as we know him, as we see him in the scriptures, as revealed to us by God's holy word. We see this wonderful human person who laughed, who cried, who sweat, you know, who tickled the children, who was stern, who was sleeping in a boat. This very human person was both human and divine. Mm-hmm. And Mary was the mother of Christ, the human person, but also in the mystery of God's salvation, God became man and dwelt among us. And Pope Leo called that the marvelous exchange. He called it the holy and marvelous exchange. And he said, for unless in humility he had come down to us, none of us by our own merits could ever go up to him. Isn't that beautiful that really God, you know, so loved the world that he sent his only son in the mystery of the Trinity, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, God became man in the womb of Mary. And she became God-bearer, Theotokos, Mother of God. And on the first day of the new year, we celebrate that. We recall that. We also recall, and Paul VI really emphasized this when he reinstated this beautiful celebration, as I said, went back all the way to the 3rd century, then proclaimed officially in 431 at the Council of Ephesus. He, in his reflection and looking at how the Christian community had celebrated Mary, she's also the mother of the Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. And that on January 1st, we really pray for peace. And the big, huge celebration that our Pope Benedict will have, and Pope John Paul II always did too, will be at the Angelus on January 1st. And he will speak in I don't know how many languages to wish peace to the whole world and pray for peace, invite all of us to pray for peace. Yeah. So really, the celebration is worthy of a vigil, and that's what we'll be doing tonight at St. James. We'll start with the rosary and recall the mystery of Mary, God-bearer. We'll also recall that as Mary is God-bearer, we are also called to be, and this is just a derivative of her name, we are called to be Theotokai. We are also called to be God-bearers. And the beautiful reflection, every time we receive the Eucharist, every time we consume the Word of God in its fullest reality in the Eucharist, but also as Word of God, we become God-bearers. We're able then within that context to be just like Mary, mm-hmm. you know, in a different sort of way, of course, because we have original sin that's been cleansed through baptism, and we have a chance as she was pre-redeemed, we are redeemed through the blood of Christ, through the sacrifice, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We too can be God-bearers. Mm-hmm. We too can bear God to the world. So the invitation, and the third invitation tonight, and I invite, if you can't come and join us at St. James at 10 o'clock or at 11 o'clock or at midnight or for breakfast, if you can't, still take some time tonight to recall your own dignity. And that's what Pope Leo the Great, it's a beautiful reflection. If you're using the Liturgy of the Hours, the Office of Readings, the reading in particular from Leo the Great will highlight this point, that as we, our dignity has been raised by Mary's yes, we too, the doors were open, we too can enter into a new way of being. We can, at this point, we can open up our hearts, receive Christ in the Eucharist, and we can be holy dwellings as Mary was. And that means our demeanor, our ways, and how we care for the Christ within. Imagine Mary carrying Jesus for 9 months. So we carry for that short period of time after communion, we carry the real presence of Jesus. We carry God in our being, in our bodies. And the importance of that is that, does my life reflect in being a God-bearer? Does my life reflect? So this is a good time for spiritual resolutions. Mm-hmm. My point is that as we enter into this new season, where have I been as a God-bearer? Where am I now, and where am I going? How is my interior home? Is it welcoming? Am I ready for the Christ? Am I ready to receive? One of the reasons we're starting, it's a new, we haven't done this before. We just haven't had enough opportunity to do it. But now that we have more and more priests open and available at midnight or 11 o'clock at night, we'll also offer the Sacrament of Reconciliation, a chance to start new with that sacrament, mm-hmm. you know, to really cleanse the interior and to pause and resolve. Mother Teresa says a saint is a resolute soul. You know? Yeah. So we want to be resolute. And what am I going to be resolute about? So that will be, you know, the beginning of the new year. I can recall where I've been. Where am I now in my resolutions? Not just I'm going to lose weight, you know, or I'm going to get over this bad habit. I mean, those things, I'm not putting those down. They're fine. They're wonderful. A resolute soul will also look at how godly am I? Mm-hmm. You know, where is my relationship with God? Where does that need to be, you know, shined up a little bit? Where does it need to be, you know, kind of refurbished? Is my interior home in good condition? Or is it a little bit in disarray? Mm-hmm. And I think all of us have some disarray. There's some corners.
Oh, yeah.
There's a coffee table that's got a ton of stuff all over it. My interior coffee table. I love to think about the interior house. And a friend of mine is reading Teresa of Avila's Interior Mansions. And you know, Teresa of Avila often thought of the spiritual life in terms of a castle, you know, or a beautiful spiraling mansion that had all these individual rooms. And the first room of Teresa of Avila's castle was the room with all the creepy crawlers in it, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, if there's some serious sin, I need to look at this new year, you yeah. know, and not to be daunted by it, because the power and grace of God's love given to us through the Sacrament of Reconciliation can clean up that mess. Mm-hmm. Really can. Yeah. Really can.
And I think, too, a very good way, Teresa, to kind of begin to get the spiritual mm-hmm. house in order. Take a look at things against the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
You know, look at those commandments mm-hmm. and say, in the past year or in my life to this point, how am I keeping those? Yeah. You know, I mean, where are those areas mm-hmm. that I need to resolve to do better?
Mm-hmm. And that's just a really basic list that I can pray with the Ten Commandments all the way to the, you know, at a certain point you may say, well, of course I keep the Ten Commandments, but there's all the nuances. Exactly. You know, holiness is an ascending journey. That was the image that Bishop Jacinto, our founder of Pro Sanctity, always used. You go take one step and then he invites you a little higher. Mm-hmm. So no, I'm not killing anybody.
Yeah.
But nor am I committing, you know, any terrible sin against life. However, do I kill with my expression?
Yeah, or anger.
Exactly. Am I really gentle with people, or do I find myself negative and angry? And, you know, when I'm, many people have shared with me, Teresa, I know that I still have, you know, the ability to kill when I'm in traffic, because I still experience road rage. Or mm-hmm. Some of us were discussing, you know, when you're on the phone and you're trying to go just to get a little information, you have to hit 25 buttons and you get 25 operators. Well, that starts to cause a terrible feeling within. And pretty soon I'm nasty and angry and even using foul language mm-hmm. at the other person, on the innocent person on the other end. You know, that's a type of killing. Yeah. That's a taking God's name in vain. So we have all kinds of little areas that really lead to bigger areas. One little transgression leads to a bigger one. So no, I'm not killing anybody or taking anybody's property as such, but I am lusting after other people's things, and I am using anger as a weapon. Even my expression. Do I look at my brothers and sisters, my family members, my neighbors with eyes of love? You know, the invitation not to kill is the invitation to bring life.
Amen.
You know, am I affirming, or do I always come up with the negatives? Do I say only the good things that will really help people, or do I tend to gossip and, you know, go on and on about what didn't happen rather than what did happen? At the end of the day, do I only look at what I didn't do, or did I take time to look at what God did? Did I take my eyes off myself? Because I'm my own idol, mm-hmm. you know, do not have idols before you. Take my eyes off myself and keep them on the needs of others, on the needs of the people I live with, on the needs of my world. Is my prayer all about me, me, me? Or is it about Stretch it to reach out to the needs of those around me that are much more in need than myself. You know, not that we shouldn't pray for ourselves, but if it's only about me, mm-hmm. you know, those sorts of things. That's the Ten Commandments, right down to a T, you know. How faithful interiorly am I to my spouse? You know, mm-hmm. how do I venerate and reverence the other? You know, those are the sorts of things. And so tonight, the very first resolution would be putting ourselves in the right position before God. You know, that I am aware that I am not perfect, that God is God and I am not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's number one, humility.
Yeah.
You know, humility is being aware that God is God. Mary was mother of God. So I ask her tonight to help me to be in her position. And she's the one who sang out her Magnificat and said, you know, God lifts up the lowly so that I let God take me where he wants me to go this new year. And each and every day I will recognize, make that act of faith, make that act of belief that you are God. Mm-hmm. I didn't create myself. I can't create this new day or this new year. I need your help, God. In fact, if you don't do it, it's not going to be holy. It's not going to be right. Mm-hmm. So I really want this year to put myself in a position where I'm facing the Lord, you know, that I take that time to do that.
Yeah. And I think that's what's so important about the aspect of the holy hour that you have mm-hmm. As part of things going on tonight at St. James. We really need to take that time to be still and be quiet and shut up and listen.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. You know, be still and know that I am God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the very first. If that's the resolution I make, that will change my whole year, because I will take regular times to be still. I'll make sure that every single day. In fact, when I wake up in the morning, when is our still time, Lord? When is that time where I'll just sit in quiet adoration or just quiet prayer in the presence of the Lord? St. Ignatius says, you know, pause and recognize the presence of the Lord and then sit quietly and listen. Sometimes I'll hear something, sometimes I won't, but I will be aware that God is there.
Mm-hmm.
Once I begin to cultivate that, and it really does take cultivation, because the world, my world, is filled with noise and needs and duties and this and that. Pretty soon I forget where God is. And I'm sustained by God. God is everywhere. God is within. We live and move and have our being in God, as it says in Acts of the Apostles. As soon as I recognize that God is there, then I can be much more still, because I'm not in charge, you know, in that big sense of the word.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to give me what to do. I need to know what to do. I need to participate. I need to receive the grace and respond. That, again, is a very Marian stance.
Mm-hmm.
And so tonight I resolve every day to be still with God, to keep God, to allow God, because he doesn't force us. You know, we have to make that commitment. God wants us to make that commitment to put him first
mm-hmm.
before all things.
Yeah.
You know.
Heading into spiritual resolutions, if you will, mm-hmm. a good resolution might be a holy hour.
Yeah. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, if you say, oh, I can't sit for half a holy hour, then do it a holy half hour.
Sure.
Or a holy 15 minutes. Start where you're at. My best story, and it still continues to be true, is a wonderful friend who started with 5 minutes a day. And in her living room, in the middle of the living room with the kids running all over the place. Those kids are now grown, you know, relatively grown, high school and that sort of thing. But she's still, to this day, now 5 minutes led to 15 minutes. 15 minutes led her to a greater taste for God and desire to be with God. She didn't plan that. It happened mm-hmm. with just being in God's presence. And I really encourage people to hear that. God will give you the taste, the desire for more. So with 15 minutes, then she started her holy hour. And now, I mean, a week doesn't go by that she doesn't have a holy hour that's specific where she signed up, and she does many others whenever she can,
mm-hmm.
you know, during her. And she still keeps her holy 15 minutes every morning, and to the best of her ability, her holy 15 minutes in the evening. And our wonderful saints would all say that this is the way to do it.
You bet.
You know, just be consistent, resolute, as Mother Teresa said. The other virtue or resolution I would make, and this is a little different, but, you know, we have to keep the end in mind. So we're at the end of the year, we're at the beginning of a new year. both. I just turned another year. You're going to be turning another year. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not here forever. How am I in relation to my life? Am I clinging to this world, to this earth, or am I beginning to look forward to heaven? A detachment, a holy detachment. Love the day, love the world, love all that God has given me. But keeping my eyes fixed on Jesus means I remember I'm just here temporarily. I'm a pilgrim, in other words. Mm-hmm. I'm a sojourner in a foreign land and moving towards my heavenly destiny. To ponder heaven, to ponder the ways of God means that I remember that everything I taste in goodness here on this earth, even the kolache that I just had,
is a foretaste
of the heavenly tastiness that I will have for eternity with God. And if we stop with just the taste here, then we stop remembering where we're going and why we're doing things and the resolve for which we have to be that holy bearer, that God bearer. So if I am a God bearer, if I'm bearing Christ in my womb, in my spiritual womb, through the Eucharist, through God's word, and through my desire, then I also have to remember that means that I have heaven inside of me. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I can't cling to the, it's not about stuff or how much did I do or my work becomes my God. Go back to the Ten Commandments.
Right.
You know, I put that before taking time on Sunday to go to Mass or daily Mass or that daily, you know, half hour or holy hour. I don't have time. I have things to do. Well, in the light of eternity, are those things really that important that I can't give a half hour a day to prayer or to adoration or an hour, holy hour every week or even more often or daily Mass, you know, where I can receive the Eucharist to be truly a God-bearer, a Christ-bearer through the day? Detachment, mm-hmm. detachment, to let go of the things, of the, not to let go of my love for this world, because God gave me the world. And he, I'm just convinced when I get up to the pearly gates, this is my image, he's going to say, did you enjoy that kolache I gave you? Did you enjoy that cake that I offered you? Did you enjoy that beautiful day that I had for you? Was I too busy to enjoy the beautiful, wonderful, joyous friendships and family members and the beauty of the world? Did I take time to notice all these things and thank God on a daily basis? Detachment will lead me to a greater gratitude, thankfulness, joy. Detachment will lead me to joy because I'm not all caught up about having more, more prestige, more power. These are all the opposites, yep. you know, of our virtue, you know, but will lead me to a greater commitment, a greater desire. So first is putting ourselves in the right position of God, and second is detachment. And Mary certainly remembered always when she could not have said yes to God if she were just thinking of herself in the here and now, because it was a tragedy what was happening to her. But she kept her eyes fixed on the Lord, and she knew, you know, in her heart, in her pondering, mm-hmm. every day her pondering, that it was going to be okay because God was the God of the impossible.
Yeah.
You know, this is impossible yep. for man, but possible for God. He's the God of the impossible. The other virtue, and this will be the last one, I really feel is very important for the new year, and that's prudence. Mm. Prudence does keep the end in mind and helps me to make right choices in light of that end. So as I look through this new year, one may say, well, it's imprudent to take a day off because I have so much work to do. And you and I have to listen to this one.
Oh, yes. Time and time again.
But sometimes, and this is what the saints would use this term. Sometimes we have to be supernaturally irresponsible. Supernaturally irresponsible. With gay abandon, I'm going to take this day off and dedicate it as a day of prayer, of recollection, of interior cleanup. Mm-hmm. You know, January 1st is a beautiful day to do that. You know, I wouldn't take my Christmas tree down yet. I'm not going to do that till the baptism of the Lord. But I can start to clean up interiorly and see what needs to be put away that really wasn't important this last year. I can start to look ahead with some audacity and say, where is God taking me? You know, how about an annual retreat? How about a spiritual director or a spiritual friend? Mm-hmm. How about looking ahead and saying, you know, I'm working 80 hours a week and maybe I need to do something about that. Oh, but you have all those bills. You need to be responsible. No, let's be a little supernaturally irresponsible and put God first and see how those bills get paid. I can attest to that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He said, you know, trust me, be not afraid, you know. So prudence is keeping the big picture in mind and taking and making those choices that lead me to a greater commitment. Mary is our refuge. She is the one that we turn to. She is the first one that lived, that put God in her life. She made place for God in her life that was the right position. She stayed close. She pondered all these things in her heart. She brought them to the Holy Spirit. She said yes over and over again. Yes, she was pre-redeemed, but she was human like us, and she had to pause first. Mm-hmm. The power of pausing. I can never tire of saying that. The power of pausing. She was able to look ahead and see the future with the eyes of God. She had that ability to make right decisions based on her trust in God. Blessed is she who trusted that the word of God that was given to her would be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. That was supernaturally irresponsible, but yeah.
She did it.
So I'd like to close with this prayer and once again remind our listeners, if you can come tonight, even for the 10 o'clock hour for the rosary, it would be well worth it. You'll be immersed in God's word. It's a scriptural rosary, time for prayer and to recall your resolutions. Then the holy hour at 11, Father Dan Lance, Father Tapor, and Father Cook, and who else? I'm sure others will join us. It'd be a wonderful time to spend before the Blessed Sacrament, to listen again to the words of God, and to resolve, to be resolute mm-hmm. about this new year in light of God's inspiration in your heart. And then the big hoopla to welcome in the new year with the Lord. You know, there is really no substitute for that. I don't care how many parties you go to, you'll come back and feel empty, but you never come back and feel empty after a holy hour and Mass at midnight. You just don't. Yeah. You really don't. And then, of course, a wonderful fresh egg casserole and homemade rolls and all kinds of things that will just come out of the woodwork for our breakfast afterwards. And, you know, a little donation basket goes around. It's a cheap date, you know.
Come you on. Bet.
It's great. It's great. And we do have people come in just for midnight Mass or just even at the end for breakfast because they want to enjoy the community. And I think that's a beautiful way to go. So this is a beautiful prayer of a child to Mary. It's called Holy Mary, Mother of God. I invite you to pray with me in spirit. Holy Mary, Mother of God, let me keep a heart of a child, pure and transparent like spring water. Let me have a simple heart that does not linger to relish its own sorrows, a heart rich in giving and easily moved to compassion, a faithful and generous heart that does not forget a good deed, yet it does not hold a grudge for an evil one. Make my heart humble, capable of loving without demanding to be loved in return, happy to lose itself within other hearts and to sacrifice itself before your divine Son. A great and indomitable heart that no ungratefulness may close and no indifference may wear out. A heart tormented by the passion and glory of Jesus Christ, wounded by his love with a deep wound that will heal only in heaven. And I ask, Mary, in the name of your Son, Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Teresa.
Thank you. God bless you.
Yeah. No, we certainly love our Blessed Mother. And, you know, throughout the liturgical year, there's so many feast days, so many different titles that, you know, that we bestow upon our mother. But I think Theotokos,
yes.
Mother of God, Our Lady's greatest title.
Be a God-bearer today in the spirit of Mary.
Amen.
Amen.
Teresa Monahan, thank you so much. We appreciate it. God bless.